You're listening to the Infused Leadership Podcast.
Because leadership is really hard. We
are children of light. Welcome back to the Infused Leadership Podcast. My name is Jeff Maness. I am the lead pastor here at Element Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we're just going to jump right back into the conversation we started early this month on tricking people to follow Jesus. Again, we have a couple guests on the podcast today. Derek Mowry, who is currently the executive pastor at Element Church. He led in management in the Kroger grocery store system for a number of years. Todd Halverson, who is the store manager of Michael's Craft Store here in town. And then our creative arts pastor, Jared Bayless, who spent a number of years in the secular workplace as well. They're all just speaking into this idea of how do you lead people to Jesus in the workplace when you really can't be official about evangelizing. They've had some great insight. They're going to continue to give some great insight. So again, picking right back up in our conversation, tricking people to follow Jesus. So what are the struggles that you guys have found in being intentional about leading people to Jesus without being able to freely use his name or to be evangelistic in your words? I mean, we talked about, you know, how do you get Jesus into the conversation, but what's the frustrating part? Like what are the roadblocks that you found, the struggles? And we'll start with Derek.
Nice. Put me on the spot. I took this question literally in the struggles part, and it's more of a logistical thing. For me, I always experienced in the workplace, in a fast-paced retail environment, that there really wasn't the time you needed. So say you started a conversation with somebody and you felt like the spirit was working in the person, they're asking questions, there's this dialogue back and forth, and then they need another checker. Or you know what I mean? Like something... I felt like there was some resistance in that, just those conversations. I don't know how many, I would say dozens of times that happened to me, that I'd be having this in-depth spiritual conversation with somebody that was interrupted by the work. And so, you know, and of course, obviously you've got to get to the work or whatever, but oftentimes that's so distracting, you don't come back to the conversation. So that's where I, you know, just like Todd mentioning the spirit, I believe that's something that in those disappointments that I experienced, that I just have to trust that the spirit was working and continued to work, or somebody else, you know, that was all I was to do, was to start the conversation, get the person thinking. But to me, the biggest struggle was logistic. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, like I felt like somebody was watching to make sure I didn't say the word Jesus or something like that.
And I think that's a sign too, where Todd said, you know, the Holy Spirit's involved, but also we have a spiritual enemy that's involved as well. And when he starts seeing good happen, you know, he's gonna wreak havoc in that whole conversation as well. So that's good too, that there's another side spiritually to this that the enemy is working too. So
I even think to follow what Derek said, and not because I feel guilty, because I don't, is that sometimes is our role is sometimes is on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being leading them to Jesus, is your role might be 0 to 1 or 5 to 6. And that's when I find the frustration. I realize you're done or done for now, and then you'll come back. So I think what Derek is saying is right, that like, God will continue to move that along, and then there might be another opportunity down the road, or maybe that's all you were intended to do, and somebody down the road in 6 months to 2 years, whatever, is going to pick it up from there, and we just have to trust that we can't control every conversation, and you've got to be okay with it.
That's good. That's awesome. Todd and I were talking about that the other day. Todd was talking about equating this to the, like, setting up one of those amazing domino displays, and how we might be a person that just sets up one of the dominoes in the whole line of them. We might not be the person that gets to knock it over and see everything take place, but we still had a part in the process. And that's kind of what you were talking about there, that you might just be that person planting the seed. You don't get to, you're not going to be the one that waters it or even the one that watches it grow, but you're still a part of the process, and seeing that was, I think, is key.
And I think we got to remember, we're literally in the lion's den at some point. We're out on the front lines, you know. In a sense, the church is kind of the safe area, and the enemy knows that there's a stronghold, a foothold he's got on some people out on the world. So you're going to hear some growls, you know, as a leader. So That's okay. Let the growls come. But it could, because if you shield yourself up with a word, you'll be ready to combat that.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Something somebody said to me once, I've always remembered this, that God did not rescue the people from the trials. He rescued them in the trials.
Yeah.
And the same thing that you said is like he didn't rescue them from the lion's den. He rescued them in the lion's den. And so sometimes we have to be in the struggle for him to rescue us or to see his purpose.
Yeah, it's awesome. So last question, how do you stay out of the water cooler, gutter level talk that often happens in the workplace? And again, I hope we believe that great work is done in the secular workplace. We're not saying that, all secular workplaces are just, gutter level, but that happens, obviously. So how do you stay out of that or without coming across as being holier than thou? So how do you live like a believer without coming across as I'm better than you?
I feel like the first part, I guess, is just being mindful that you don't condemn the unbeliever in that. So when there's, that the gutter level talk or whatever you want to say, you don't get all high and mighty about that towards that person that may not believe the same things you do. Like you say, they're just not accountable to the same thing at this juncture. And so I think that's the first thing to remember. And then I find that, in the workplace, I believe you can just, avoid those conversations because the work needs to come first. Mm. So oftentimes I feel like just staying on task keeps you out of those things. Oftentimes those things are happening in the margins where there's, people that are not necessarily contributing at the highest level. And so I feel like you can just avoid those conversations oftentimes. But I found a lot of those conversations were places where I could influence the discussion. Mm. I feel like if somebody else was being gossiped about or just railed on for their, they're not present. So somebody is just being talked poorly about or something like that, that standing up for somebody else, not necessarily like, how dare you group of people talk badly about somebody, you're, gossiping, not that, but just standing up for a person, that person is operating in integrity, or maybe they're just being, picked on or whatever, that kind of thing, to just kind of come to the defense of that person in a discussion. And then another thing I found in those conversations, oftentimes I could interject because I had experience about, say they're talking about drunkenness or something like that, oh, this is a great time. That was a great place for me to say, yeah, I remember doing that once, and that was the dumbest thing I did, or whatever, just trying to be really to put yourself into the conversation as somebody who's experienced sin and now sees how it didn't benefit any part of your life. And so you can try to kind of, I don't know, just like a coaching opportunity where you just step in and say, hey, faith aside, you're making poor choices, and that kind of thing. And oftentimes you just have a better opportunity to speak into somebody's life that way.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, faith aside, because there's a lot of things in life you can speak into that are just, you can leave Jesus out of it. And there's still some common sense outcomes that are better if you don't get involved in those things.
So
you can still, you're still sharing your faith without even bringing faith into it. You're just showing the other side of it, that there's some negative things that are going to happen if you keep following that path outside of Jesus and eternity that I have experience with. So that's good, Derek. Todd?
Yeah, I would agree. I looked at this question with more of a boss mentality or leadership mentality instead of someone that worked for someone. Keeping them focused and driving the team towards a common goal, which if you're in a company, you should know the company's goal. So let's drive towards the goal and keep everybody on the same page. So finding what their skill sets and aligning that to their purpose in that mission. Hmm. So keeping them on task with that. And then teaming them up with someone else. Always, triple braid, where three strands are tougher to break than one. So, you know, getting people paired up is always good. And then keeping that focus and then and see that we're all here for one right reason. And that's the common good of the company, because ultimately a healthy company is going to be good for all of us, because it's a resource, it's a provision that God is providing us with the paycheck and everything else. So this for me was the difference between understanding that shepherding a flock or being a boss. So once I understood the difference between, you know, now that I'm a believer, I'm called, commanded even to be a shepherd of flock. I'm not just a boss. I'm not just here to dole out work lists. You know, there's a reason why we have everything lined up, and there's a reason why everyone's here for a purpose. And so, you know, team member engagement was very important. It's always important for me. So having kind of that unity, that that harmony amongst the team, that we kind of have that tight-knit bond, and that creates a impenetrable weave, if you will, for the enemy to, you know, can't get in that. 'Cause when there's harmony with Jesus and there's division with the enemy. So having that understood, team member engagement is critical. You know, keeping everybody engaged in the processes of the company, of the organization, wherever you are, everyone aligned to its purpose will always keep everybody focused on the good and not on the garbage, if that makes sense. Yeah. So
I actually never would have thought of either of your answers as the way to avoid the gutter level stuff, but it's so good that if you just do your job, you're going to avoid a lot of that, because a lot of that happens in the idleness of the day.
Yes.
And you're either as the leader, like Todd, you're saying, as the boss, you have not aligned the team very well to get stuff done. Or as Derek mentioned, a lot of times you just found just doing my job kept me out of that. That's so good. So then you're not being like, oh, you guys are talking dirty, I'm not going to be around. You're just doing your job. So that's super good.
What are we here for? You know, that's kind of what we kind of focus on. Why you clocked in.
Yeah.
What are you here for?
Yeah, it's good. Anything you want to add to that, Jared?
Sure. I'll take a, I agree with everything those guys said. I'll take a.
Especially Derek. Right?
Especially. It was super good.
Super.
I have it memorized.
Double good.
Yeah. No, I would say, and this obviously builds around like my skill set. So I know this doesn't apply to everybody, but when I was in the secular workplace, I was not a boss. So I had those conversations came to me. Like I said, I was sitting in a cubicle, and I remember one ringleader who would just, I don't know why my cubicle, right? But, and they're behind me and I'm working and I'm even working and they're still having these raunchy conversations that I didn't know what to do. But what I realized was that when I took the time outside in the idleness of not group idleness, but in the coffee breaks or whatever, that I cared for those people, showed that I cared even in the smallest things. When I decided to bow out of those conversations, they were not taking it personally. There was something that made them feel uncomfortable about doing that around me because they respected me enough. And I've applied this to today and the people that I lead here at the church is, I seem to do these in times. I said 10 seconds. This one's like 30 seconds. So I call like 30 second conversations. When we come to rehearsal here, I ask our lead producer and my resident, I ask them, hey, ask the 30 second question while people are getting set up about one thing, like how was work today? Mm-hmm. And let them, they don't have a lot of time to answer, but they're going to give you 30 seconds. And then you start to get these little nuggets of information about fine, or you have a parent who's not doing well, a relative. And then you don't have a lot of time to talk about that. You can either follow up later. And what I ended up doing was, I would find out more and then I would follow up with that. And then they realized that I cared enough to know about their personal lives. And so then when I bow out of their raunchy talk, they feel almost guilty because they're like, that's a guy I actually respect. And why is he not a part of this? And then the conversations happened. And I remember that ringleader, we had an instant messenger inside of our corporation, and he pops up and says, you're a Christian, right? Mm. And I remember thinking, this is going to be interesting on work time. But he goes on about, you post scripture on Facebook, and I believe that that's who you are, but I got a question. My sister's dating a Christian, and I don't know what to do. Mm. And I remember I spent 20 minutes talking on an instant messenger with the ringleader of the raunchy talk. Yeah. And I remember thinking, man, God, you just continue to come through and come through. And that's how I avoided it. Not all conversations. I just smirked and kind of showed like, I'm not going to judge you guys, but this isn't for me. And I wasn't saying anything. I was saying a lot by not saying anything. And sometimes you can't avoid them. Sometimes it's, you just got to make people feel uncomfortable and it'll eventually die down. That's what I have found. Okay. So I have a question for these guys that wasn't planned, but I know the person who came, the request came in through me. And so I wanted to help by just,
you didn't make the request. Somebody right. asked it
Sorry.
Of you.
Somebody yeah. asked, somebody came to me with this request for yeah. this type of podcast, and they are a leader in the workplace wondering how to lead people without being weird, without pushing beliefs on somebody, but yet gaining respect as a Christian with people who are not Christians. So I was going to ask you guys, if you have one thing or a couple things that you would say to this person as a leader in the workplace, that's crucial. Do you have that takeaway of like, remember this and the overall, despite everything that we said, remember this, here's your struggles, here's your victories, here's how you become a great leader through Jesus. Do you guys have, what would you tell them?
I think I'd say to be yourself.
That's cool.
I think we try, when we get into that mode where we think, here's my witnessing opportunity, here's how I'm going to breathe this into somebody's life. We think we've all of a sudden got to be the preacher, or we've got to yes. be the eloquent speaker. But once you kind of step outside of who you normally are, I think people spot the fake. Yeah. And yep. so I think you've got to be genuine. You've got to just kind of roll with your own personality. Make sure you've got, you salt the conversation with your own missteps and that kind of thing, just being truthful, and be yourself.
It's good.
Owning up to your mistakes is, I think, a really big one, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the same thing we tell communicators. I mean, this to bring this into the pastoral world, like if you try to preach in a way that's not you, that's going to be spotted in a millisecond. Like, you have to preach as you've been created to preach, not like some pastor that you've seen that you want to emulate. I mean, people will see through that in a heartbeat. And the same is true, again, in the workplace, being you has got to be one of the biggest advantages you have, that just let God work through who you are. Don't try to be anybody else, just be you. It's good. Todd?
Yeah, I was going to, I just echo that. Know your identity in Christ. You know, that's kind of, it's kind of basically what everyone's been saying, but if you don't know who your identity is in Christ, then that's probably where we start. And then understand that in the leadership, was this person in a leadership role? Okay. So the way I saw it was, I was put there for a reason, yeah. you know, and I became a believer in that moment at that time through sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that, and then again, it goes for me, it all hinges on Romans 12. So I heard the section of the chapter that reads, give your bodies to God. Mm-hmm. And when we read that, we often think, you know, that's me. I got to give my body to God. But as a leader, you're a leader of a soccer body, a body of soccer team. You're a coach of a basketball team. You're a band leader. Wow. You know, these are bodies of people, so you're leading a body. So give your bodies to God. So understanding that concept. And as you start to understand that part, then you will learn to know His will for you. And that's the subsequent verses after that.
That's
you start to understand that there is He has a will for your leadership in that place. That's why you're there.
That's good. I never thought of the verse about the body that way, that not just your own physical body, but that group that you've been put in charge of is also a body.
Yeah, your house. Your house is a body of
awesome.
A family, right?
That's good, yeah.
Yep.
I felt like I have a soccer body, but...
wow.
Sorry.
What is a soccer body? I want to know what that is.
You're looking at it, pal. No. I would say my last thing that I would interject is, like, you... We're all wired the same, and we all want the same things. We all want to be loved. Yeah. We all want to be taken care of. We are all insecure, and we're all wired the same way, both in the good, and then we take on a lot of the bad as this world beats us up. So everybody's responding in a certain way. The people you lead are going to respond out of insecurity and uncertainty, and so some will cower, and some will fight and resist. But ultimately, they all want the same thing, and some it will take less time, some it will take more time. But ultimately, people want to know they're cared for, and they want to know that somebody truly, genuinely cares, and it's not just talk, because that's what we do in the world. We say, how are you? And we just move on and say, I'm good. And we have the standard answer, but nobody really pursues them. And everybody wants to be pursued, whether we're going to admit it or not. So I think just it's the same thing everybody said here, but I would tell you that pursue people and lead them well, and they will. And when they know they're cared for, they will work hard for you as a leader. And they don't want to let you down. And ultimately, hopefully down the road, they don't want to let God down because that was what it will lead to. But to right now, you are Jesus. You are God to them, because that's the only way. And I think Todd said that earlier in the podcast, one of our podcasts, I guess it's a two-part.
What did Derek say earlier?
Derek said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!"
You said that we're all insecure, and now Derek's going to be more insecure for being on this podcast.
No. I zoned out and wasn't paying attention.
No.
Once Derek started talking, you zoned out.
Derek said all the same things, but
just anyway, better.
That would be my takeaway: is never don't give up and keep fighting. And people are they're going to fight you, but you can win.
Resistance is a force of strengthening. So the more resistance,
that's pretty
it's just
deep
like
right there.
Yeah, it's like bench pressing.
Welcome to Talking to Todd. He'll say something, you have to pause for about 5 seconds, and then whoa.
Oh boy,
I'm still deep thought.
He's like Yoda. He's like Yoda, the master.
I got it.
So while you guys were saying all this stuff, I actually thought of something else. I don't know if it connects to any of the questions.
It doesn't.
Okay.
And I guess Derek just ended our podcast. So thanks again for tuning in to the Infused Leadership Podcast. This is part two of our discussion on tricking people to follow Jesus. Thanks so much to Derek, Jared, and Todd. They all did a phenomenal job sharing insights on how to lead people to Jesus in the secular workplace when maybe it's not really allowed or acceptable to do that. I hope it's been helpful to you. As always, please rate and review our podcast on iTunes. It'll really help us out spreading the word about what God's doing through the podcast. If you have questions, you can email us, infuse@elementchurchwy.com. I hope this podcast has been helpful for you. And as always, we hope that it infuses your leadership with you.